All right, so in your Bibles this morning, if you would, turn to the book of Ephesians. Turn to Ephesians in chapter 4. We did a lot this morning talking about churches, if you will, through the Bible. Understanding that there's more than one church in the Bible. Okay, so you have to understand that or else you're never going to get the concept of what's going on in the Bible. So we covered that in our earlier teaching, and I think some of you saw some stuff from that, right? So what we're going to deal with today, though, we're going to deal with edifying the body. Edifying the body, okay? So here in chapter 4 of Ephesians, we're going to see some terminology about edification. Now, what I did when I started this thing about edification, we started off in Galatians chapter 4, remember? And we talked about being children under tutors and governors, or being sons, which mean mature and grown up and in doctrine and understanding what God would have us to do and what He wants us to be. So today we're going to talk about that, edifying the body. Let us pray, and we're going to go read the verses here that we have today, and we'll go forward. Father, we are so grateful for another day of life, another day of grace, another opportunity to come and study your word, to fellowship among one another, your true body of Christ right here in this assembly. We're so thankful for each and every one, every member. We thank you for all that you've done through Christ, in Christ, and by Christ for our salvation, for our walk, for our future, for our eternity. We give you all the praise, all the thanks, all the honor, and all the glory. And everyone did say, amen. So then, let's read here in Ephesians, and let's start out in chapter 4, and let's start with verse 10. He that ascended is the same also that ascended up far above the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of what? The body of Christ. Okay? Till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, every member supplieth. That's us, right? According to the effectual working and the measure of every part, make an increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. See that? Edifying. What did we talk about last time? The word edify means to do what? To build up, right? To build up to a benefit, to improve upon, okay? To add to it, right? To grow up in it, to build it, all right? So edify is important. Now, I don't know why we don't hear more messages from grace people on this that teach and preach grace about the edification. I don't know why we don't hear more of it, because it's extremely important. I'm going to show you the way I learned Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians. If it'll help you, great. If it don't, then, you know, it don't. I hope it does. But the way I look at those books, okay, I want to show you, this is how I learn them. And this is how, when I come to them, I feel like I get the most strength out of them to the edification. All right? So in the book of Ephesians, we'll put a line here. So the book of Ephesians, when I read that book, the way I look at that book is who we are in Christ. Okay? When I read the book of Philippians, the way I read that book is who we are together. And that's the body. When I read Colossians, I read that book, and I read it who Christ is in us. All right? So that's the way I get through those books. Somebody out there may disagree with that. That's fine. They can do whatever they choose, right? We're here. And this is the way I look at them. So when I go to Ephesians, I'm thinking about we're seated in Christ. That's our heavenly position in Christ. That is our justified position, judicial position, spiritual position in Christ. When I come to Philippians, I look at the things that are there to who we should be together as a body and how we should function as a body, who we are together in Christ. When I come to Colossians, I read the hope of glory, which is Christ in us. I read that as in who Christ is in us. This is the stumbling block for a lot of grace people. Because grace people go to the book of Colossians and they grab 2:10 and say, we are complete in Christ. Amen. Good job. Right? How complete is Christ in you? How complete is the Word of God in you? Look at Colossians. You are complete in Christ. Salvation is no issue, folks, if you've believed the gospel. If you haven't believed the gospel, you're in trouble. Okay? So let no man talk you out of that. Look at chapter 3 of Colossians and look at verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Now, y'all don't want me and Randy to do that latter part of that. But we are to let the word of Christ dwell in us richly. All right, watch Ephesians. Look back to Ephesians. And look at chapter 5. Look at verse 18. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. What did Colossians say? Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. How are you going to be filled with the Spirit? By the Word of Christ. By the Word of God. All right? That's how the Spirit's going to fill you during this dispensation. All right? What do people want out there? Christ, the Spirit moving up on them, creating all this stuff so they can do all this stuff and power them to say, look at me. Okay? So we're going to get somewhere with this. Watch. Now watch number 19. You're going to be filled with the Spirit. Watch what he says. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. All right? So you're complete in Christ, but now what Paul wants for the believer is the Christ be formed in you. How's that going to happen? By sound doctrine, by teaching, by receiving it, by believing it, that it may work effectually in you. Okay? So this idea that's out there, that's been painted in religious circles, is the Bible is good for your circumstances and you to take all the circumstances of life and every time you find a verse or a scripture or a chapter, wrap your circumstances around that and God's going to come in on a white horse and take all that stuff out of your way. That's really the teaching. The teaching out there is that God's got this great big plan for you, for you, for you, and you. And now what you got to do, you got to pray, you got to fast, you got to seek. You got to find out what that great big plan is so you can get on board with taking care of that plan that God designed just for your life. Folks, that's nonsense. What God is doing, he's done in his son, by his son, and through his son. God's greatest desire for you, if you want to put it in one verse that I all the time, I quote it and I take you to it, is Galatians 2:20. He wants you to realize that you've been crucified with Christ. And nevertheless you live, yet it's not you that liveth, but it's Christ that liveth in you. For the life that you now live in the flesh, you ought to live that life by the faith of the Son of God who loved you and He gave Himself for you. What God wants you to do is to understand what He has accomplished through and by His Son, that you in Him may be in a place that He can live His life through you. Okay? He gave His life for you so He could give His life to you so He could live His life through you. Right? That's what God is doing. It's not some fancy plan over here that's designed so zig and zag or straight or up or down and try to figure all that stuff out. How many times I've sat in church and heard somebody say, well, you need to find what the will of God is for your life. The will of God for our life is that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth, and we give them the gospel. We make them see the fellowship of the mystery. We talk about that all the time. That's truly the will of God. It's what God is doing is concerning His Son. Jesus Christ gets left out of religion. But what we teach and what those good grace preachers and teachers teach is all about Jesus Christ. Okay? So when you start thinking about it, you look at Paul's prison epistles, who we are in Christ, who we are together, and who Christ is in us. When you start understanding this, you can be edified, and that edification that we edify one another and we grow up unto the Lord and Christ is formed in us, now what we can do, we can help other people. Right? Yeah. Most places, and you keep saying most places, they don't even know what the church is. I was reading a post the other day, and I think it was an ad. And whoever put the post up, they had a picture of the inside and the outside of their building. And it said, look at our beautiful church. Yeah. Folks, if you and I aren't here, there's no church here, right? We are the temple of God. We're the temple of the Holy Ghost. He has chosen to dwell in us, right? So there's no church here unless we're here. And most people don't know really what the church is. They don't know how to function in the church because they don't know what the church is. They think the church is a place we go to meet. No, the church comes together to meet. We are the church. How do you have local churches? You have local churches because people assemble together that are true believers. That makes up a local church. But the church in general that we talked about this morning is the body of Christ, which was given unto Paul. I'll tell you what, dude, go home and study your Bible a little bit and find me that terminology in anybody else's books outside of Paul. I'll save you some time and let you know it's not there, but don't let that hinder you from studying. Paul is the only one who talks about this body, the spiritual body. And so if you understand the spiritual body, what you'll understand is all that stuff back there that pertains to a nation, a physical, literal nation, it doesn't apply to you. Water baptism, circumcision, all that stuff, it doesn't apply to you because everything that you have is spiritual. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Look at chapter 4, look at verse 4. There is what? One body. There is how many? One spirit. Even as you're called in one hope of your calling. One Lord. One faith. How many baptisms?
One.
Well, somebody turn to Matthew 3 and 11. Matthew 3 and 11. John the Baptist preaching comes out and says, verse 11, I indeed baptize you with water. See that? But there cometh one after me, Myron, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. That's two baptisms. And with fire. There's three baptisms in one verse. So now Paul's over here says there's one Lord, there's one faith, there's one baptism. Can that be the same? There's no way. So what does Paul have? Paul's got new revelation. That water baptism back there that pertained to Israel and that nation to become priest, right? A holy nation, a royal priesthood, does not apply to the church, the body of Christ. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. Well, they say, well, that's one baptism that counts. No, that's adding words to the Scripture. The Bible doesn't say one baptism that counts. He said there's only one baptism, right? Now look at verse 6. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all, and in, what? In you all. Every member of the body of Christ, the hope of glory is Christ in you, right? Christ in every member, folks. There's no abiding. There's nothing for you to do to keep that in play. Christ is in you the moment that you get saved. And the moment you get saved, guess what? You are placed into that body. You're in Christ in heavenly places. You can't change that. You're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So most people don't understand what the actual church here is. It's not a church back here built up of a nation. It's not a church that's following after the law. It's not a church. This body of Christ, this called out group of people that started with Paul, is a body. It's a spiritual body. Understand? Until we understand that, the edification process can never begin. Why? Because you're building on the wrong foundation. You're building on the, I should say, you're building on the foundation the wrong way. You're trying to build out of one of those other houses that we showed this morning, and it's not going to edify you to the place of coming to the sound doctrine to know who you are in this dispensation, right? That you're under grace, you're not under the law, you're not under tutors and governors, right? You're a son of God to be led by the Spirit. Okay, you with me? And I told you a lot of this would be more of me telling you what we kind of what we've learned, and it would be chasing scriptures, but I still have some scriptures to look at. So I want you to understand. Look at verse 13 of chapter 4. Now you know how I teach that up there when he says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Those were gifted men that God was given the word directly to. Now we have to study to show ourselves approved unto God. Those men were getting direct revelation to the early church. Why? Because all the Bible hadn't been written yet, right? But now we have to study to show ourselves approved. But watch verse 13. Till we all come into the unity of the faith. What faith? This faith that God revealed unto Paul, right? The one faith that he spoke about up in 4, 5, and 6. That we all come of the knowledge of the Son of God unto what? A perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. See that perfect man up there? How do most people read that? We've got to be perfect, flawless. That's not what he's talking about. Remember, we talked about child and we talked about son, children and son in the Bible, right? What did I say a son was? A son was a grown-up, right? He's different than a child. The father is going to deal different with a son. You won't find that word in your Bible, adult, but that's what he's talking there. A perfect man is one who's coming to the sonship. He understands this edification. He's grown up. God is going to deal differently with him than he would a child, right? That's why the child was under tutors and governors, right? So you remember that? Now, here, we can be led of the Spirit, sons of God, a perfect man, meaning one more mature, grown up, an adult. We are able to make decisions because we are more mature. We can decide what we're going to eat because we're mature, right? Good, bad, whatever, but you got choices. The child is going to eat what the tutor and the governor says eat. He's going to do what the governor says do. Now watch this. Go back to Galatians where we started that message, by the way. Look back at Galatians. So the edifying of this body, we have a responsibility. If I come in here every Sunday, okay, and y'all know I do this a lot with Romans through Philemon, okay, but if I came in here every Sunday and I start off in those four Gospels where most of all of Christendom live, I'm not going to build you up. I'll get you under condemnation, right, because I'm going to tell you, you're going to realize if you stay in those books, unless you just jump verses and you push them off, I can't do that. I can't do that. I don't do that, right? That's where it all came together for me. I knew that I wasn't doing a tenth of everything that was in those Gospels. And guess what I found out one day? He don't ask me to, right? So what's here? Paul talks to these Galatians again. Now, chapter 4, look at chapter 4. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the father. See that? Even so, we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them which were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. All right? And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son in your hearts, whereby you cry, Abba, Father. So you go from a child unto a son. That is from being immature to mature. That's a graduation process, right? And this thing about the body being edified. Now, watch what Paul says to these people. Look down here in chapter, same chapter, look at verse 19. Now, watch how he addresses them. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. You see that? So here you got these Galatians who had gone back to the weak and beggarly elements of the law, putting themselves back under tutors and governors, and Paul addresses them how? Sons? No. He said, look here, little children. See? Now he's got to go back and deal with the same group that had been preached grace. They understood grace. He had preached liberty. He had preached all that stuff, how they were redeemed. The law was taken out of the way. All this business. Okay, chapter 2, you're crucified with Christ, all that stuff. And yet they've gone back and put themselves under tutors and governors, wanting to be circumcised to make the flesh better, to have a show, right? A show of the flesh. And he deals with them as children. Now what does he say to them? He said, I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. He says, get off of that stuff. Grow up on good meat, good sound doctrine, and have Christ formed in you. Have the Word of Christ dwelling in you richly. Be filled with the Spirit of God, right? Be a son. Be a grown up, right? Those of us who have come away from that elementary law teaching and every Sunday of hearing about all that stuff, how bad you are because you can't do this and you can't do this and you just got to try harder and you got to get down here this morning to an altar that God never told you to do anyway in this dispensation and you got to tell God how sorry you are for all the things you did wrong last week. You know what it is? That is a distraction. What that is, that's distracting you of what God wants you to be, to get you down there and to get you concentrating on what? Your flesh. To get you concentrating on your sin. Folks, we are to concentrate on God's Son. We are to know who we are in Him, who we are together, and who He is in us. And we are to mature into that position. And see, most grace people, unfortunately, they only see this part over here. See, they don't think there's any labor involved. Not in your salvation, there's no labor. But there's labor involved in studying the Word of God. Does the Bible say study? Yes. Is study a labor? Yes. Does the Bible say pray? Yes. Is prayer labor? You betcha. Right? So there's study to be done for us to become this mature vessel for God, a vessel of honor. Okay, there's labor, folks. I'm sorry to tell you. Grace is not get saved and sit on the sofa and watch whoever teach all day long or worse than that. That's not the illustration that Paul is laying out in these books for us to develop as the body of Christ unto the edification in love of one another. The true church that God has foreordained, predestined us to be a part of, there's work in that body. How do I know? Simple, I can read. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. I'm not talking about hot dog sales, Kool-Aid stands, all this garbage that's gotten out here, these people have gotten into their churches and all this kind of stuff. They can't live without a bake sale. I'm not talking about that. And if you do that, have at it, man. I ain't got time to sell cakes and cookies, right? I hated selling candy bars when I was in high school. I usually ate all of them, had to take the money in because I ate them all. Had to prime tobacco to make up for what I took. Well, you did well. You sold two boxes. No, I didn't sell anything. I ate them all, and here's your money for them. So I don't like selling stuff like that, man. I mean, you know, somebody's got to do that to make it, then they got to do to make it. The way I look at it, the body of Christ can't come together, edify one another, and help support the gospel and keep the lights on, and we'll all go home and we'll watch Les Feldick on TV. Right? But, I mean, there's no excuse for the body of Christ not having a place to do what it needs to do if we are in it together, the unity of the faith. All right? So in Ephesians, look at chapter 2. We'll just read 8, 9, and then we're going to read 10, which gets left out a lot of times. Chapter 2, verse 8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is what? Yeah. All right. Is it work for or is it a gift? Yeah. Is it anything you did? He just said it's not of yourself, right? Mm-hmm. How would you ever get tripped up on salvation then? Mm-hmm. Believe that verse. Watch verse 9. Not of works, lest any man should boast. So should I run out and say, I got to do something to be saved? I got to do something to stay saved? The verse just told you contrary. Believe it, right? Now watch verse 10. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. Created in Him. See that? Under what? Under good works, which God hath before ordained that we must walk in them. That's not what it says, is it? What does it say? We should. Should is different than must. Right? So you see here that the work part of this thing, the body and what we're able to do when we grow and we edify and we built up good sound doctrine within us and it begins to work effectually so as our salvation is worked out to the benefit of others, it helps other people. Right? That's why we're hearing what we're hearing from a lot of people saying, wow, I'm seeing this thing for the first time. You know why they're seeing it for the first time? Because their preacher, their teacher, kept them stuck back over here in another program for many years. Some people are saying, Donnie, I was saved for 35 years. I never saw this truth, but I can see that it is truth, and I can see and make sense out of the Bible now that I'm not back there. Amen. How do we know we weren't back there? Look at 2:11. Same book. Watch how the Bible unfolds. Wherefore remember that ye been in time past, Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. Watch, verse 12. That at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. Oh, you weren't in that house that we drew up there this morning, were you? See that? The house of Israel. You were alienated and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Why? That's where you were before Paul. That's who you were before God revealed the mystery to Paul. You were Gentiles out there with no hope, alienated from the house of Israel. You had nothing. Damnation, condemnation, no future except damnation. But watch verse 13. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. See that? For He is our peace, who have made both one, and have broken down the middle wall partition between us, having abolished in His flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments. See that? What were those houses over there? What did they have in them when we drew them this morning? They had the law in them, didn't they? Moses' law, coming on up to the Gospels, they had the law in them. You see that? All right, He said, the commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in Himself of twain what? One new man. Not a new nation, but a new man, a new body. And that's who we are. We are the body of Christ. Folks, when He's talking about members of the body, people have assigned that to Randy cuts the grass, yep. Willie blows the trumpet, Brother Knifebone plays the guitar, Elizabeth sings, and Leonard back there plays the fiddle, what have you. I let you off the hook. I had a good one, but I let you off the hook. And they assign that to be the body of Christ, see? And folks, the body of Christ, we are members of His body in particular, right? And we are to facilitate what God is doing. That's why He saved us. You know, the people, salvation is wonderful that we're not going to go to hell. We're no longer under condemnation. But He didn't save us to get in a recliner and cruise the rest of our life on earth. He saved us unto good works that we can help other people see this. I wouldn't do this just for myself. You know, pertaining to the flesh, there's some fun stuff out there to do. Right? But no, I want to do this. I want to be here on Sunday mornings. I want to teach. For my benefit, I grow by the study. I grow by the teachings, but for your benefit, to edify you, that you can be built up. That you, how many in here has helped some family member, right? Maybe a friend that saw this, right? And maybe they haven't. Don't give up. Keep building. Keep building. Because one day, if you keep building the doctrine and it begins to work effectually in you because you believe it, you're going to have those answers that maybe you struggled with a couple years ago when they asked you a tough question. You're going to develop that answer. Okay? You're going to be able to show them something on a napkin like what I showed you this morning. Hey, let me draw this for you. Right? So there again, this is way more about where we've been and where we're going than it is just all about a bunch of scripture. But now I want to show you some scripture about edifying. I want you to see this. Go to Romans in chapter 14. So sometimes when you get into right division and you see so many things for the first time and you go, wow, man, that's great. I learned something today. And you, next time you come, you want to see something. Show me something new, because that's good stuff. And you do. You see something new, right? And everybody gets, oh, wow, man, I'm heartstruck about this thing, because every week I've seen something new. Well, then we come into a message like today, a teaching like today. This shouldn't be new to you by now, right? Now you got to receive this and say, look, I'm graduating from that child into this son. I'm going to take on the responsibility of learning and being filled with the Word of Christ so that I might affect somebody else's eternity. I might affect the doctrine that they've been in that's poor doctrine, that I might get them out of that and get them to see this message. Right? But it's all about edifying one another. Now, even if we never grew another person, we still here in this room have the responsibility of edifying one another. Right? And I do think that's why we have the strength that we have within the assembly of not having some of the problems that some of these other places have. Look at verse 19 here, Romans chapter 14. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherein one may what? Edify the other. You see that? Things that make for peace. You know what doesn't make for peace? Getting all caught up in one another's flesh. I learn you after the flesh. I learn all the bad things about your flesh. That's going to gender problems down the road. Some of these assemblies get together every Saturday. All right? They get together, cookouts, weenie roast. You know, I'm not against people getting together, you know, over that type of thing. But what happens is some of them have got to do it all the time, and it's all got to be done around this assembly. It's got to be done around that building, or else it ain't of God. And you got to all get around it, and you start to learn the bad things about somebody else's flesh. And what you get out of that is you start to get strife. Right? What's different than strife? Peace. So watch what the verse says again. Let us wherefore follow after the things which make for what? Peace. And to the edifying. How are you going to stay in peace and edifying? Stay in the Word of God. Get away from those other things. Right? If we fellowship, we'll do that. I'm okay with that. But I ain't doing it every week. Right? I mean, we don't live together, folks. Right? We are people who come together. We are the church that comes together to meet here. We don't have to be... I mean, it scares me to what some people want out of a church. You gotta be right there by the pastor, man. I gotta be the one, right? Folks, we just are what we are here. Go for those things that make peace and edifying. Look at 1 Corinthians 10. The doctrine that we have over in Ephesians and Philippians and Colossians can't be understood by children. It can't. People who are stuck, they don't know where the church began. They don't know the difference between water baptism, being baptized by the Spirit. They still caught up in what? Holy days. And that's what Paul said to Galatians. He said, I fear of you. You're talking about days and weeks and months. Come on, man. Get off of that stuff, right? And so have Christ formed in you. You can't understand those books until you get to the place of being edified with sound doctrine that graduates you to the next stage of your walk. You understand? So in 1 Corinthians in chapter 10, look at verse 23. Now watch what Paul says here. All things, how many? Are lawful. Why? Because he's not under a law. You see that? No, but watch what he says. But all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. See, there's no law to tell me this, this, and this. But if I do this, this, and this, and it's not about the edifying of you, then I'm wrong. Right? You see that? So our job is to edify one another. You know, the edification that came from that simple card that Brother Tim wrote, that's edifying. That built a member of the body up to say, thank God that somebody is receiving this and it's helping them. Well, he in return tells me that it's helping him. What happens? He was edified through the message. I was edified because of the fact that he received that edification. Makes sense? You see how the body works? This body, man, doesn't have any big eyes and little U's in it, folks. It's all one body, and we are to work together. Every one of us is part of that body. There's nobody in this room who's got more privilege with God than the other. See, you know what they do in churches to elevate a man called pastor? Well, if anybody could ever get to God, it's him. You can all get to God. Have you not read Romans chapter 5 and verse 1? We have peace with God. Why? Because of his grace. By faith. You have as much access to God as I do. I've got no more access to God than you do. Right? If we take each person here and God was doing the judging, then he could see how much of Christ has been formed in each one of us. That's the difference. That's what we taught about that judgment seat last weekend. When you stand before him at the judgment seat, it's about how much Christ has been formed in you to your privileged position throughout all eternity to bring him glory as a trophy of his grace. That's what that's going to mean. So you're sitting there and all you've got is some wood, hay, and stubble based on the fact that you took in a little bit of bad doctrine, or that's all you've got is wood, hay, and stubble. It's going to burn up. We talked about that. But this thing to edify and to build up that edifice, to make that building to what God wants it and furnish it with good doctrine, gold, silver, precious stones, that's what it's all about, folks. And when you get that established in you, and you believe it, it works effectively. It helps other people. How selfish would we be if we didn't want to help somebody? Right?
Charity. That's what Paul
talks about. Charity. And we're probably going to hit a verse that talks about that. Look here at 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And look at verse 19. Verse 19. Again, think ye that we excuse ourselves unto you? We speak before God in Christ, but we do all things, dearly beloved, for your what? Your edifying, for your building up to a benefit, to add unto you. Right? Is it starting to come clear a little bit? Look back at Ephesians 4. Look at verse 12. For the perfecting of the saints, the perfecting, the maturing, the building up of the saints into maturity, spiritual maturity. For the work of the ministry, for the edifying of what? The body of Christ. Look at Colossians 2. Let me show you those things that don't edify. Watch here. Actually, look at verse 20. Wherefore, if you be dead with Christ from the rudiments of this world, why, as though living in this world, are you subject to what? Ordinances. Touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish with the using, after the commandments of doctrines of who? Men. Which things have a need a show of wisdom in will worship and humility and neglecting of the body, not in any honor of satisfying the flesh. See that? They're working on the outward man. Now, what is the command up in verse 19? Watch it. And not holding the head, from which all the body by joints and bands, every member, having nourishment ministered, and knit together, increaseth with the increase of what? Of God. What were the Colossians not doing? Here, Paul was warning them because they were not holding up the head. They were getting into the rudiments of this world after the doctrines of men. Where's most of Christendom? Under the doctrines of men. They're not holding up the head. They have no clue what that even means. Right? So every one of us, our position in Christ, His position in us, is to put us into a place that we can hold up the head and not ourselves, not trying to fix our flesh. Do you realize that God did away with sinful flesh in the likeness of His own flesh? You understand this? When people go there, they read that touch not, taste not, handle not. Well, that's cigarettes, beer, and something else. No, that's the stinking religion of this world. That is people drawing away from the headship of Christ unto a man's doctrine about all this wood, hay, and stubble. That's what that is. Don't touch it. Leave it alone. You don't need it, Paul said. Why don't you need it? Because in 2:10 he says you're complete in Christ. Now what you have is you've got to get to the place where Christ is formed in you by sound doctrine. That's the only thing that's going to correct your attitude. That's the only thing that's going to correct behavior. That's the only thing that's going to get you speaking the things that becometh the gospel. That's the only thing that's going to keep us together as one body in here in unity of the faith. Right? You with me? It's doctrine, folks, and it's a cuss word out there, I promise you. Most people want to fill up a building and they could care less about the doctrine. They don't even know about Paul's doctrine. They have no clue about the new man. They think the new man is part of Israel. If it's new, it wasn't there before, right? We can do that math, can't we? You got to get this. You've got to understand this maturing and growing up into the sonship of God and to have this in you working effectually so that we can achieve what God wants us to do while we're here. If he didn't have a job for you to do when you got saved, he'd have took you then, right? But He has given us something to do. And that's why we do what we do. Look at 1 Thessalonians. I'm getting close to closing. Because we're gonna work this out over time. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Look here, verse 5, let's read a few verses here. Look at 8. But let us who are of the day be sober. That means have a clear mind. A mind that is transformed. The spirit of your mind, let it be sober about the doctrine which Paul has delivered unto you. Okay? Putting on the breastplate of faith and what? Love. And for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God had not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Watch this. Who died for us, that whether we are awake or sleep. That means whether we are spiritually in tune with God and we're awake to the doctrine. Or if we just fell off the bus over here and we're not in tune with the doctrine and we be asleep. Doesn't matter. If you're saved, you're in. Wake or asleep. Right? Sober-minded or confused. You're still in Christ. Nothing can change that. What? Who died for us that whether we be awake or asleep, we should live together, what? With Him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. You see that? To edify, to build one another up. All right? Flip back to the book of Philippians, and then we're going to close. Philippians. Remember I said Philippians was what? Who we are together in this body. Right? It's who we are together. This body of Christ. Watch what he says here, 2:1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of what? One accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. How much is that in most of Christendom, in those so-called churches? Right? It's about me. I'm Deacon so-and-so. I am the band leader. I'm the choir director. We all have titles here. We even own payroll. And Paul said, do away with that mess. Right? But in lowness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. That's, there you go, folks. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Was Christ thinking about himself when he went to the cross? He going to the cross, that song says, when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. I love that song. Right? Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. There are men who have fallen away from what could have been really good ministry. Why? Because they want to have a reputation for themselves. They want to build a great following for themselves, and by doing that, they fall into the snare of the enemy, because the emphasis becomes on what they're doing instead of what God is doing. And what God could do through them if they would just do like Moses and say, Lord, I'm not a fairness of speech. Okay, good, Moses. Now I can use you because you realize you're nothing. And that's what Paul said last week in that teaching. Who is Apollos? Who is Paul? Basically, we're nothing. Nothing but vessels of which God has used to work through to get you this message. Right? Being found in the fashion of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient even to the death of the cross. Whereby God have highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in the earth and the things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Amen. But do you see how he wants us to function? Look at chapter 1 and look here at verse 27. Philippians 1:27. Folks, I know I didn't show you a chart lesson today. I know I didn't show you probably something new that I dug out of Scripture today. Maybe we did that early morning when we did the first teaching. But what I'm trying to show you now is the practicality of the body of Christ growing up and being edified and built up and building up one another so that we can continue to hold up the head, and that people, through the message that we deliver, can be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Okay? We can fill the building up, but if we don't have the doctrine right, it's all for naught. All right, look here at verse 27. He said, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, watch, striving together, not striving against each other. Kim wants pink carpet, Barbara wants blue carpet, and somebody in the middle wants another, and we're striving against each other about this stuff. It ain't about this building, folks. There's no church here when we leave today. We can put whatever we want on the sign. There's no church here when we leave today. We are that body, okay, members in particular. All right? So watch what he says, striving together in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. You see that? All right, the last I'm going to leave you with today is Ephesians chapter 1, and then we're closing. Promise, for the last time, I promise. I told you there's so much to put in. We'll just got to build on it a little bit more as we go forward. All right, we're going to start at verse 12, and we're going to go forward and read a few verses, and then we're going to discuss a couple of those, and then we're going to move on out. All right, you with me? 1 and verse 12, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, and whom also ye also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, And also, after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Were you sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise when you got saved? You can believe that verse. Nobody can break that seal, not even you. You were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. That's the Word of God, folks, to you. What? Which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of His glory. Wherefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, make a mention of you in my prayers. Now watch. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling and what the riches of the glory of the inheritance in the saints. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him on His own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also that which is to come. That's heaven and earth, folks. And hath put all things under His feet and gave Him to be the head over all things to what? The church. Watch this. Which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. You see that? You see how rich this thing is and where you need to come in order to have what God has already delivered for you, but you've got to obtain a lot of this doctrine. God does not impute all this doctrine into you. He imputes unto you righteousness, justification, all that's imputed. But He wouldn't say study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not be ashamed of right dividing the word of truth if that was going to be imputed to you. Study is not imputed. Study, again, is a labor. Are you with me? So we have to come to this knowledge that it's not good enough just that we know something about right division, and that makes us maybe a little smarter than the guy around the curve or over here to the left or over here to the right. That's not it at all. All right? God didn't give us this knowledge so that we go around pointing our finger at everybody else. He gave us this knowledge so that we could grow up unto Him into a perfect man. Right? So that when we stand at the judgment seat of Christ, we're going to have that gold, silver, and precious stone. You with me? All right? There's some work to do. Right? And so your labor of love is to talk to your friends, your family, and build one another up. All right? With that being said, we'll close and we'll ask a few questions and answer those and we'll go home. So if you will, let us pray. Father, again, we're so grateful and so thankful for this day. Thank you, Lord, for your study, your teaching. Thank you for each one who is here today, Lord, for the fellowship of the Word. And we give you all the praise, honor, and glory. For those that are not here for various reasons, you know the reason. We pray for them. And God, we pray that your grace rest upon them. We thank you so much for all that you've done. We pray for that soul out there that's possibly not saved. Lord, if they today would just simply believe by faith in their heart that Christ died for their sins, was buried, and rose again the third day for their justification, trust His work and His work alone, they could be saved. It's that simple. They need not move. They need not say a thing, do anything. All they need to do is to believe what you have given them for their gospel. In Christ's name, we give you all the praise, honor, and glory. And everyone did say, amen.